Welcome to The Word Unveiled, our continuing series of programs about our faith. Our program is about Augustine, and it's subtitled, Our Hearts Are Restless Until They Rest in You. Now, Augustine was born in the province of Numidia, which is what we call today Algeria. He was born into an abusive family. His father was abusive to his mother, and he was kind of like part-time abusive to the children. Augustine was trained to be a public speaker. He was adored by his mother, and he became one of the greatest theologians of the church. So how did Augustine, who searched for love in all the wrong places, become a great theologian? As in all things, let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious and most merciful God, give us ears to hear your words, a mind to comprehend your meaning, and hearts that will allow your word to take root in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Aurelius Augustinus was born in Tagaste, Numidia, which is Algeria, on November 13th, 354. His mother was Monica, a native Berber who was a devout Christian. Berbers were native peoples to that part of North Africa. She probably only spoke Latin. She spent her entire life praying for her son and his conversion to Christianity. And we would know nothing about her except for his book, which he entitled Confessions, which recounts all of the wonderful things that she endured for the sake of her son. Okay, Augustine's father was named Patricius. He was a pagan Roman from the island of Sicily, and he had moved to Numidia, and the family name was Aurelius. And this suggests that his father's ancestors were freedmen of the gens or family Aurelia, which was given full Roman citizenship by the Edict of Caracalla in 212. So Augustine's family had been Roman from a legal standpoint for at least a century when he was born. His family were known as Onesterios, which is an upper class of citizens, but they were not wealthy. So Augustine tells a story of his youth in his book called Confessions that describes as how he, as a boy, together with some of his friends, raided a neighbor's orchard and picked pears off the trees. He was probably about 8 or 10 years old at this time. Now, the pears weren't ripe. They didn't eat them. They didn't want them to eat. They just did them out of spite, just to destroy them. And the action was very sinful and disordered, but Augustine felt good after doing this. This was one of the first events in his life where he contemplated the reasons and motivations for his actions. Now, at age of 11, Augustine was sent to Madaurus, which is near Tagaste, to attend a school. And there he learned to read and write Latin, and he learned about the pagan gods of Rome, beliefs, and practices. And his father, Patricius, was neglectful of him and abusive toward his mother all during this time. Nevertheless, when Augustine was 17, his father had somehow arranged, through the generosity of a friend, Romanus, for Augustine to go to Carthage to continue his education in rhetoric. Perhaps because this was above the financial means of the family, Augustine sought to fit in with his fellow students in many ways, and many of them were very hedonistic. So he was an excellent student, and excelling in rhetoric and public speaking, but he ignored his mother's warnings about falling victim to the wicked pursuits of some of the upper-class students that he was associating with. So drunken parties, evenings with prostitutes, became his daily schedule. He'd study by day, party by night, and he continued to excel in his studies, but his taste for the pleasures of the world began to cloud his thinking with regard to sin and eternity. So while he was at school, he came across a work of Cicero, the Roman author Cicero, entitled Hortensius. And this aroused, and this work has been largely lost now, there's only fragments of it that exist, but it aroused in Augustine a love of philosophy and it enkindled a lifelong search for the truth. And although his mother had raised him Christian, Augustine joined a religious philosophical group called the Manichaeans. And who were they? Well, Manichaeism was a belief in a dualistic world in which there was a good God, a God of spirit and light, and an evil God, a material God, a God of the world and darkness. And it was conceived by a Persian man named Mani, and his parents had been Persian Gnostics. Gnostics were heretical Christians who believed in special knowledge, and it incorporated all these other things into the faith that Christ never taught us. So it incorporated elements from Zoroastrianism, Hinduism, all different religions. And its followers were supposed to rise in stages of belief to a greater and greater awareness, but Augustine never went above the initial stage of belief. About the same time, when he was around 18, he took a mistress, and he would live with her for the next 15 years. So early on in this relationship, the woman became pregnant, and she gave him a son who Augustine named Ariodatus, which means gift from God. And the name of Augustine's mistress was never revealed. He never revealed it when he was with her or later in his writings. Augustine became the greatest orator in Carthage. He was a great student and a great speaker. And the Manichaeans, who he was associating with, began to boast of having him within their ranks. They had the greatest speaker in all of Carthage. But Augustine had many questions for the Manichaeans, and they kept placating him by telling him, when our leader comes, when Faustus comes, he'll explain it to you. He'll explain all that you need to know. He'll explain all the, he'll have answers to all your questions. Finally, Faustus came to Carthage, and when Augustine met with him, he discovered that all Faustus spoke was hot air. No explanations, no insights. He became quickly disillusioned. So he decided that he was going to leave North Africa, and he's now going to take his teaching ability and take it to Rome. So he applied for and he was granted a position of teaching rich men's sons in Rome. Well, his mother was still after him to accept faith in Christianity, and so she tried to follow him. And in one rather bad action, he told his mother, she came down to the ship, Augustine was on the ship with his items. He said, the ship isn't leaving until tomorrow. I have to go off and get my things. Come back tomorrow and you can go with me. And so he got off. She went back to her house and he got back on the ship and the ship left within an hour. So he was that kind of a son to his mother at that time. So she was left behind in Numidia. She was devastated by his actions, but she was determined to chase after him. So she got on another ship. That ship encountered a storm. She told the sailors wanted to turn back. She said, no, we have to go. I have to help to save my son. And so she encouraged them to go on, and they did. They sailed through the storm, and she arrived in Rome as well. Well, this was Augustine's world. He was born in Tagaste. He grew up in Carthage, and now he's crossed the Mediterranean to go to Rome. And this is the year 381. Well, he couldn't get a government position, so he set up his own school, and he was teaching these private students. Well, his rich students would cheat him. They were supposed to put a coin in the bucket or the little urn as they would leave after the meeting, and they would let the coin drop, but they'd have it tied to a string, and they'd bring it back out again, and they'd go on. So he couldn't put up with that. So he decided he had to go somewhere else, and he thought he'd go to the larger and more prosperous city of Milan and try his luck there. Well, in Milan, he's told to go and hear Archbishop Ambrose because he's a great speaker. So Augustine began to go to Mass at the cathedral, not because he was there for liturgical reasons, but he wanted to hear this man speak. And people told him, oh, he's a better speaker than you. So Augustine went to meet Ambrose privately. Remember, he had an open door policy. He would meet with anyone. So Augustine goes to see Ambrose privately, and he shares with him his deepest thoughts. Well, Ambrose then teaches Augustine how to read scripture in a totally new way. Four paths, you might call it. The first is the literal reading. If it's a historical event or some action is displayed, well, there is what it says you can read and understand literally. But there's also the allegorical way. You can understand, what does this represent? what is this like? And they read it that way. Then there's the moral teaching. What moral issue is being discussed in this reading? And then finally, there's the anagogical or eschatological meaning, which is, how does this affect me and my life and faith with the Lord in the end times? So you have these different ways to read it. So Ambrose taught Augustine to read scripture, which his mother had tried to get him to do, but he never quite understood. And then he also taught them what was essentially Lectio Divina, how to pray the scriptures. So Augustine took what he learned from Ambrose, and one day he was praying in a garden, and he heard a child's voice coming out of a window of the building next to him, and the child's voice said, "Take and read, take and read." It kept going over and over again, "Take and read, take and read." And he looked down at what he was reading, and he was reading Paul's letter to the Romans, and suddenly tears came to his eyes, and he saw the word, he understood the word, and he realized what Ambrose had been teaching him. And at that moment, he would relate that at that moment, he found God. And this is what he was reading, Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. "And do this because you know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and licentiousness, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the desires of the flesh." Well, this was a summary of what Augustine's life was like in Carthage, you know, and all the drunken orgies he had gone to. It was the Lord speaking directly to his heart and soul. And since he now understood how to read scripture, it had a great effect on him. So Augustine becomes a catechumen. And in 383, he was baptized by Ambrose in Milan, and he entered the faith. And he continued to learn from Ambrose, but in a few months, he decides to return home to North Africa, and his mother has come over to Italy as well, and he will go there and form a men's group. And he would continue to walk with God and will ultimately become one of the greatest theologians of the faith. So Monica, his mother's deepest heartfelt desire, had now been realized. Her son is a Catholic, and his son, Adeodatus, was also baptized. Now she urges Augustine to take a wife from among devout Catholic women. But Augustine, who has by this time put aside his mistress, has no desire for women. Only God occupies his thoughts and desires. So Augustine cares for his ailing mother, Monica. She's in the port city of Ostia, and there, that's a port near Rome, and they're going to go back to North Africa, but she's ill. So he awaits for her recovery so she can accompany him, but she doesn't recover. She gets worse and worse, and she dies in the year 387. So Augustine then returns to North Africa, and he settles in the city of Hippo, which would be in Tunisia. Augustine's reputation as a public speaker is well known throughout North Africa. They knew that before when he was a student and a teacher at Carthage. But now that he's a Catholic, many are attracted to this new religious community he has set up. And Augustine travels throughout North Africa, attracting many to the faith. Soon after his arrival in North Africa, Augustine's son, Adeodatus, dies. But Augustine's reputation as a public speaker attracts many to the community, and he also combats the Manichaean influence that he once ascribed to. So he starts to draw Manichees away and back into the church. And in 391, he's ordained a priest. And then a few years later, when the Bishop of Hippo dies, the people cry out for Augustine to be their new bishop. He is elevated to that position. It's a universal choice. But in his community, there's a group of schismatics known as Donatists. And they preached that anyone who had forsaken the church during the Roman persecutions could not be forgiven and returned to the church. Well, that's an issue because God is the one who forgives. And these people can't put themselves in the place of God and decide who can re-enter the church and who can't. And they also preached that the validity of the sacraments were dependent on the holiness of the priest officiating. And that's also incorrect because the sacraments are a gift from God. They don't come from the priest, they come from God. So Augustine was faced with correcting these errors. And then there was a second group of schismatics who were known as the Pelagians. And they claimed that one could attain heaven by his own good behavior. And this came out, was named after a bishop in Britain named Pelagius, who was teaching people that if they just would be good, they could take on this great moral character and that would get them into heaven. And that's not how we're saved either. You know, it's the grace of God. You know, it's the gift from God. So to combat both of these groups, Augustine wrote his autobiography, Confessions. And that showed that even he, their bishop, had sinned in the past and even now in the present time. So Confessions became a very effective tool for teaching, and many believe that it was perhaps the world's first autobiography. And these are some of the things that he wrote. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. There is no saint without a past, and no sinner without a future. Take care of your body as if you are going to live forever, and take care of your soul as if you are going to die tomorrow. Belatedly, I love thee," speaking to God. "O beauty so ancient and so new, belatedly, I love thee. For see, thou wast within, and I was without, and I sought thee out there. Unlovely, I rushed heedlessly among the lovely things thou hast made. Thou wast with me, but I was not with thee. These things kept me far from thee, even though they were not at all, unless they were in thee. Thou didst call and cry aloud, and didst force open my deafness. Thou didst gleam and shine, and didst chase away my blindness. Thou didst breathe fragrant odors, and I drew in my breath. And now I pant for thee, I tasted, and now I hunger and thirst. Thou didst touch me, and I burn for thy peace." Well, in the year 410, the Visigoths, who happened to be Arians, a barbaric tribal nation that came across from Spain, they sacked the city of Rome, and then they came down into North Africa. And some charged that Christianity had weakened the empire, and that's why this happened. But in response, Augustine composed his work called The City of God, his second great work. And this contrasted earthly corruption of the cities of men with the truth of the city of God, which is heaven. And here's a few passages from City of God. "Accordingly, two cities have been formed by two loves, the earthly by the love of self, even to the contempt of God, the heavenly by the love of God, even to the contempt of self. The former, in a word, glorifies in itself, the latter in the Lord. For the one seeks glory from men, but the greatest glory of the other is God, the witness of conscience. Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are Anger and Courage. Anger at the way things are, and Courage to see that they do not remain the way that they are. The heavenly city outshines Rome beyond comparison. There, instead of victory, is truth. Instead of high rank, holiness. Instead of peace, felicity. Instead of life, eternity. The bodies of irrational animals are bent toward the ground, whereas man was meant to walk erect with his eyes on heaven, as though to remind him to keep his thoughts on things above. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. Beauty is indeed a good gift of God, but that the good may not think it is a great good, God dispenses it even to the wicked. As it is, man cannot be happy except by partaking of the light of that God by whom itself and the world were made, and also that the happy life which all men desire cannot be reached by any who does not cleave with a pure and holy love to that one supreme good, the unchangeable God. We must understand, then, that even though God doesn't always give us what we want, he always gives us what we need for our salvation. So this was Augustine's world. He was born in Tagaste. He went to Carthage. He went to Rome. He went to Milan. He came back, and now he's centered in Hippo. And this is where he had become a priest and then a bishop. Well, in the year 430, another group of barbaric peoples, the Vandals, who were also Arians, they besieged the city of Hippo. And Augustine was 76 years old, and he was on his deathbed in the cathedral church. And suddenly the Vandals retreated and left the city in peace for a brief time. And during this peace, Augustine went to be with the Lord. And soon after Augustine's death, the Vandals returned and they burned the city to the ground except for two buildings, the cathedral church and the library of Augustine. Augustine's works were copied and preserved and sent around the world. And he wrote over 5,000 documents. And we have all of these because of this miracle that prevented the library from being burned when the entire city was destroyed by these Vandals. Around the year 480, Augustine's relics were transferred to a chapel in Sardinia, the island of Sardinia in the middle of the Mediterranean. And then to prevent the relics from falling into the hands of Saracens, Islamic raiders, they were transferred to San Pietro in Celle d'Oro in Lombardy around the year 720. And then after that, multiple orders of religious men, priests and nuns, sisters, have been established all around the world over the years based on a rule of monastic life that was written by Augustine just prior to his death. And Augustine was declared a saint by public acclamation soon after his death, and it was universally recognized by the church. He was, with Gregory the Great, Ambrose, and Jerome, declared one of the first four doctors of the church in 1298. The feast day of St. Monica is August 27th. The feast day of St. Augustine is August 28th. And by the way, Augustine's father, Patricius, was baptized on his deathbed. St. Augustine, pray for us. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks for listening. Peace be with you.